Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Matt Dennison with you. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. We do this show each weekday at 11 o'clock live on the Big X, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM. We're streaming online, BigXSportsRadio.com. We're in the TuneIn app. There's all different types of ways you can listen, whether you're near or far. We're glad to have you with us. Don't forget, podcasts of each show are available each afternoon, either on the SoundCloud or Apple Podcast app. Two easy ways to connect with us if you need to go back and listen to something or you miss a segment, you miss a show. Again, plenty of ways. No excuse, really, for you tonight to be able to catch up with us on a daily basis. NBA basketball starts officially tonight. It's really hard to watch preseason NBA. And for me, I'm not a big NBA fan during the college season. I might catch a couple of the good early season matchups, take a look or two at the Pacers now that the regular season is beginning. But once college basketball gets here, that's kind of where any free television time at night that I get or on the weekend is to college basketball. So NBA is kind of a fun hold me over. Preseason, again, it's hard to watch, but at least it's basketball on TV. The regular season starts tonight. There are some interesting games, and of course, I'm going to go through the IU connections here in the headlines and tell you a little bit about who's playing where and what their salaries are for the season as we start this NBA season tonight. But don't forget, college basketball, the first games of the season that at least will be televised and able to watch, 3 weeks away. 3 weeks away from, I think it was yesterday, maybe today, but that's the first ESPN nationally televised broadcast. We're within 3 weeks of that regardless. So a lot of fun coming up just around the corner. And, of course, when basketball season gets here, I sometimes wish we had a 2 or 3 or 4 hour show because there are so many topics from IU to local stuff to just college basketball in general that we'd like to talk about and have guests come on to talk about with us. But time obviously doesn't make that possible. But we're getting into a great part of the year, a really fun time with everything that's amping up, whether it's officially started like NBA is tonight or whether it's the college season where they're practicing and going through, I'm sure, some long, grueling practices, focusing a lot on the little things to get ready for the season that starts soon. And, of course, even high school. I mentioned yesterday that the girls' high school teams had their first official practices yesterday. I'm sure a lot of coaches checking grades and checking physicals and maybe making some cuts over the next couple days for the girls' side of things. And, of course, boys comes, I think, 3 weeks from yesterday on that as well, if I'm correct. The official tryouts and practices can begin for boys' high school teams. So no question about it, it's here. The winter is coming up. The weather is beginning to change, although I do think it's going to get warmer a little bit coming up for a while. But we're just about officially to basketball season, which is always a great time. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us, first segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at NBA players with IU connections to start the season, officially who's on whose roster. And I saw Alex Bozich put together a tweet yesterday per a Hoops Hype website that lists all the NBA contracts and salaries. I'll actually tell you what each of the IU guys to start the season on an NBA roster is going to make, what their expected salaries are for the upcoming season. We'll talk a little high school football. There's a pretty neat preseason player of the year bracket where you can vote on social media. Juwan Morgan in that bracket. It's put out by the actual NCAA March Madness handle, which is a way that they disseminate and have a lot of their own coverage of college basketball. Juwan Morgan is a 15 seed in this Sweet 16 format bracket. Again, you can vote on social media, and he's actually taking on two-seeded Zion Williamson, a freshman. We'll talk a little bit about that, too, and a couple other things to start our headline segment today. Segment two, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with me, presented by Coffee Crossing. Last week, Greg and I were lockstep about what a big game for IU football Iowa was, not because it's Iowa, but because if they could continue the momentum, get the win on homecoming, they would come right back at home next week for a big opportunity to knock off a solid Penn State team. Penn State obviously looking for a win as well after losing this past weekend. Greg was going to rearrange his schedule. He was going to make sure he was at the IU-Penn State game to cover things. We'll see if that's still the case now that the Hoosiers didn't hold up their end of the bargain. In fact, they didn't just not hold up their end of the bargain, as we broke it down yesterday. They really did not play well and got blown out basically in that game over the weekend. So we'll see if Greg is still planning to partake in that game. I want to talk with Greg a little bit about Victor Oladipo as well. He's endorsing political candidates now that his stock in the state of Indiana and in the NBA is much higher. We'll talk with him about that and a couple other things as well. Later in the program on this Tuesday show, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will be with us. We'll talk a lot of IU basketball. We'll get caught up on some recruiting things with Mike as well when he joins us today. So a lot of IU football, definitely a lot of IU basketball. We've got you covered from wall to wall, no question about it. That's the guest lineup presented by Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at the Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I mentioned NBA starts tonight. College basketball on television, at least, is about 3 weeks away from yesterday, and eight NBA players will have Indiana connections, meaning they played at some point for the IU program as the season officially gets underway tonight. There were a couple that you weren't sure if they would actually start in the NBA or maybe if they would start in the G League, but again, eight players will get their professional starts in this NBA season tonight. Those eight players, Cody Zeller at Charlotte, Yogi Ferrell now at Sacramento, Troy Williams at New Orleans, Victor Oladipo obviously at Indiana, Eric Gordon at Houston, Noah Vonleh, New York Knicks, OG Anunoby, Toronto Raptors, Thomas Bryant playing in Washington. Now, I thought this was interesting. Alex Bozich inside the hall, who's with us on Thursdays, he just put a listing of those guys and what their salaries are expected to be per the Hoops Hype Spot Track website that kind of keeps up with all that. Some NBA guys, three especially, some IU NBA guys, I should say, going to get paid. Victor Oladipo, he's up to $21 million is his expected salary for the 18-19 season playing for the Pacers. Two players expected to receive around $13.5 million. Cody Zeller, obviously, at Charlotte, he's expected to get 13.5. Eric Gordon, 13.5. Of course, Eric back at Houston. He's been sixth man of the year a number of times and has had a very solid NBA career. Other IU guys and their expected salaries, Yogi Ferrell is up to $3 million now that he's at Sacramento. Troy Williams expected to make $1.5 million. $1.6 million to Noah Vonleh, $1.9 million to OG Anunoby, who has really got some good feedback in Toronto, and I expect to have a lengthy NBA career. Thomas Bryant, $1.3 million at Washington. So a look at the IU guys. If you're looking for an early season NBA game to follow or to track some former Hoosiers tonight, there's an idea about what those guys are expected to bring down this year. But Oladipo at $21 million, Zeller and Gordon at $13.5 million. Some former Hoosiers getting paid really, really nicely to start the season. Also, I mentioned the NCAA March Madness 2018-19 Player of the Year bracket. It's a fan bracket that you can vote in. Juwan Morgan, a 15 seed. He's going head-to-head against Zion Williamson. Real simple, you go to the @NCAA March Madness on Twitter. You can vote for Juwan if you choose. But a number of Big Ten guys in the bracket. Ethan Happ, a 3 seed. Carson Edwards on the opposite side of the bracket from Juwan. And Happ, he is a 1 seed, actually, in this little Sweet 16 preseason Player of the Year bracket that was put out. So a good Big Ten representation in this bracket. That's more importantly what I look at, is how the conference is represented and what freshmen were included. R.J. Barrett was on the bracket as a 4 seed. Zion Williamson was on the bracket as a 2 seed. You would have to probably assume if they had a third incoming freshman on the bracket, it would be Romeo Langford right after those two guys as far as what he's expected to bring to the table. At this point, I just voted this morning. There have been 13,400 and something votes. There's a day left to vote, and Juwan is beating two-seeded Zion Williamson, 63% to 37%. No surprise there, because Indiana fans are crazy. Indiana fans have a good social media presence, and guys like us talk about it on radio shows. So if you want to support Juwan, there's a good way to do it. Interesting to see who the fans think is the best player in the country headed into this 18-19 season. Also, high school football, big week. Sectionals begin for a number of teams. Jeffersonville is off because all 6A sectionals are just 4 teams, so they get a bye week. There are also some other sectionals that have byes as well. But a lot of area teams in action. New Albany hosting Columbus East. That's obviously a big game and one that we'll bring you on Friday night to begin postseason coverage for the 2018 season. Still think that 5A sectional will be great with New Albany, Columbus East, Floyd Central, Bedford, Seymour. That's the 5 teams that make up that sectional. All 5 are competitive. I know New Albany's been down a little bit here lately, the last couple weeks, dropping some questioning games or puzzling type games, but Floyd Central with a good close to the season. They defeated New Albany this past week. Columbus East obviously had a huge win over Bedford to win the Hoosier Hills Conference in a very competitive game. Will be interesting to see how that one plays out. 2A Providence, they have a real chance to Paoli in that sectional as well. Paoli is 9-0, but Providence and Paoli would meet to the championship game. Speaking of high school football, Indiana Football Coaches Association polls always out on Monday. This is the final poll of the regular season. Providence would be ranked number 12 if you count it out, with others receiving votes in Class 2A. Paoli is 10th. That lets you know how close voters think those teams are as we head into sectional. In the 5A coaches poll, Columbus East and Bedford North Lawrence are both ranked in the top 10. I'm sure in the AP poll, Seymour likely will still be there. New Albany has been receiving votes. I don't know if they will after the loss to Floyd Central, but you've got a number of teams that have been recognized in 5A at some point in some way so far this season. So obviously on paper, a lot of people in addition to me think that's going to be a very competitive matchup. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Stay with us. Greg Doyle is next, presented by Coffee Crossing, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We have Greg Doyle on Tuesdays, presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by Coffee Crossing for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Greg Doyle, Why don't you brighten our day with a great interview as normal. Glad to have you with us. NBA basketball officially begins tonight, the regular season, and college basketball on TV is about 3 weeks away. I guess that statement there alone enough to brighten a sports fan's day.
Yeah, especially this year's football state that we have at the moment. The Colts tied for the worst record in the NFL. Hoosiers falling apart. Purdue trying to dig themselves out of a big hole, but maybe a little too late. So, yeah, bring on those round balls, please.
Hey, let's start with a couple NBA things, given the season does officially start tonight. I mentioned this in the first segment on my show. 8 players with IU connections will start on NBA rosters tonight. I also went through the salaries as well. That said, thoughts on the Pacers? You and I have spoke a lot about Victor Oladipo in the offseason and his development as an NBA player, becoming a franchise player for the Pacers, both on the court and off the court, with his love for the state of Indiana dating back to his IU days. But as a whole, as a team, what do you see for the Pacers this season?
Well, hold on real quick. Zeller, Oladipo, OG Anunoby, Troy Williams, Yogi Ferrell, that's 5. Taj Bryant, 6. Who am I leaving out?
Let's see here. Did you say Vonleh, Noah Vonleh?
I did not. Okay, he's 7. He's very forgettable. Forgive me for saying that, but he is. Who's number 8? Gary Harris didn't go to IU.
No. Did you say Gordon or Bryant? Leave Thomas Bryant out.
Didn't say Gordon. Okay, there you go, Gordon. All right, so it is 8. Pretty good. Pretty good considering that IU is, quote, on a down stretch. And for IU standards, I guess it kind of has been. But anyway, that's not bad because there's only X number, 300, 350 NBA players. IU's got 8 of them. That's a pretty good chunk. So the Pacers, they ought to be better. They ought to be better because the Cavaliers just took 60 wins out. They're gone. You know, they might win 20 if they're lucky. So wins are going to be a little bit easier to come by. They play the Cavaliers at least 3 times, so that's 2 easy wins, maybe 3. Having said that, their bench is better. They are better. What they surround Victor Oladipo with is better. And Oladipo isn't getting worse. I don't care what anybody prognosticators think. He's going to, come back to Earth, whatever. He doesn't live on Earth anymore. Oladipo lives in Oladipo world. And Oladipo world is, top 15 in the NBA, if not better. So he's not coming back to reality. Reality better rise up and meet him. So I think the Pacers will be better than last year. They won 48. So if I'm a Pacers fan, 50 is a nice round number. It's only 2 wins more, so it doesn't seem like that much more. It's really not that much more, but that's a nice, big, fat round number. I would say 50 would be my over-under on successful or not.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Staying with the Pacers for a moment, down here in far southern Indiana where we're at, or at least a lot of the listeners are at, we're in the Louisville television market. So we see what comes out of Louisville for the most part, meaning that Indiana political candidates for Congress and for Senate and for other major office holders, they have to buy time through the Louisville market, so their televisions obviously are going to air in Louisville and in that side of things as well, and they hope that the Indiana people watching the morning news or the evening news, whatever it is, are paying attention for that. So I know that whatever we're seeing advertising-wise in these political races for the upcoming election on over November 6th is far less than what's being put out in Indianapolis or other all Indiana television markets that are out there, but it's just absolutely already getting out of control. Commercial after commercial, slam after slam, accusation after accusation. In fact, I saw one last night in the senator race where they both accuse each other of the same thing, and the commercial aired back-to-back, which I thought was kind of amusing. But with that said, Victor Oladipo, who's become this great off-the-court hero in a lot of ways for the state, going back to his IU time, now he's reunited with the Pacers. It's like the perfect match. And on top of being the perfect match for fans and for the state, he's on the court, made major, major advances. And you and I have talked a lot about him. He chose last week to get involved in a political race. I think it was in northern Indiana where former Vice President Joe Biden was at for an event for Joe Donnelly, who's the incumbent senator, one of the incumbent senators from Indiana. I was surprised to see Oladipo, who's got a great personality, and again, is become a hero in many ways for the state, I could see him speaking up and being a more vocal player. You could tell he's a highly intelligent guy off the floor, too. I just was a little surprised to see him insert himself into a political race. He seems to be all about IU, all about the state of Indiana. And when you start getting involved in political races, as you know, you can lose people. So I was surprised by that.
Yeah, in this state especially, if you start supporting the people he's supporting, you can lose people for sure. This is one of those. It's just, you know, it's a red state. It is what it is. And he's a blue guy. He's exceptionally smart. And I'm not saying that to say, therefore, whoever he supports is right. I'm just saying his brain's really high functioning thing. And for guys like that, sometimes it's just not enough to bounce a basketball and talk about it. It's just not enough. And he cuts albums. He's a fashion kind of guy. I mean, he's real smart and he's real versatile in the world. And if he weren't a pro basketball player, he'd be great at something else. So I'm not surprised that he, A, has thoughts, and B, doesn't want to keep them to himself. He's a very independent guy as well, and so he's the kind of person that's going to say, well, you're not going to stop me from saying what I want to say. You're just not going to do it. So it's the deal. How are our politics in the world is we love our athletes to take stands as long as we agree with those stands. And if we don't agree with what they're saying, shut up and dribble. I mean, that's just how it is. The same people that would be mad at him for saying whatever he's saying would be loving it if he was supporting whoever their guy is. It's just, I mean, we're not stupid. Like, we all get it. So it's really, the whole thing is just kind of urinating in the wind. I mean, he's not, him talking is for his own benefit, to be honest with you. And I like Victor, so I'm not downing on him. But he's saying that for his own peace of mind because he wants to look himself in the mirror and say, well, at least I tried. But he's not changing anybody's votes in the state, I mean, or anywhere. I mean, we're all dug in. What you said about the political races, here's an answer you didn't think you were going to get from me. My dad is running for state senate in Florida right now, and he's called me last night, in fact, to tell me what's going on down there, and he's under attack. And the beautiful thing, you know, what you said earlier is that each candidate is accusing each other of the same thing. I think people, when they kind of think about it, but we don't think about it very often, but when we actually think about it, we understand that these TV ads are stupid and probably not terribly honest sometimes. Well, my dad, the woman running against him is accusing him of being a racist. My dad single-handedly shut down a segregated baseball league 40 years ago in Mississippi.
I was going to say, if you listen to this show, maybe we should clip out part of that segment talking to his son and send it to whoever his opponent is. But
yeah, when the KKK came to Forsyth County in Georgia, you can look that up, kids, on Wikipedia. When they came in 1987, my dad was marching against them. So anyway, the attack ads out there are nonsense, and my dad's getting it too. So the whole thing's stupid. But money, as my dad was telling me last night, and he wasn't saying it for this reason, he wasn't really even saying this, I just was listening to what he was talking about, and I was gathering this much, is that these races all come down to money. And if you have enough money to flood the markets, there's some voters out there, some that really haven't decided yet, and I guess those are the kind of voters that might look at Old Depot and say, huh, well, if you think so, maybe so. There are the undecided people, and they get won over by sheer volume of number of ads out there. So this is a very discouraging time to be an American, to be honest with you, to see how we elect people and why we elect people, and then the next morning to see who we elected. This time of year sucks.
Yeah, and as excited as I was, excuse me, in the first segment talking about the start of NBA basketball and saying that in a couple weeks college basketball would be here, to think about having to watch political ads nonstop between all the basketball segments, that's not going to be fun either. That's going to take away from some of the excitement there.
Yeah, there's just hold on, you're going to have to forgive me for this. You say something, you don't know what I'm going to say. My cat's throwing up all over the house. I did not hear what you just asked me. Something about political ads and basketball ads, and I don't know where you're going with this, but there's a bunch of hairballs on my floor right now.
We've heard it all on the Hoosier Report. Greg, I said that as excited as I was talking about the start of the NBA and college basketball being three weeks away, it's disappointing to think we're going to have to watch these silly political ads at commercial break. I just was adding to what you just said.
Yeah, and what I do is, and I don't see a lot of them, maybe because all I watch is, I watch SportsCenter. I mean, I'm very limited myself. I read a lot of stuff as far as my watching habits. I watch SportsCenter, and I don't think they're putting ads on that. And then I watch old UFC fights, And then I watch, right now I'm watching Orange is the New Black. That's my Netflix show. I realize I'm 14 years behind everybody else, and that's just the way it's going to be. But I don't watch a lot of TV, so I don't see many of those ads. I just know they're there, and after listening to my dad talk about what's happening in Florida, I know they're everywhere. But sometimes ignorance is bliss, and I'm the dumbest man around at times.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Hey, last time when we spoke, I guess it was last Tuesday, we were both pretty excited about IU football's opportunity coming out of a loss to build some momentum or continue, because they had some momentum coming out of the loss at Ohio State, to continue that momentum, maybe grab a win against Iowa, or just keep it really close and competitive against Iowa, and then take on Penn State at home. And we talked about what the environment could be like, and now that basketball practices have begun, the season on that side is getting closer, that a win against Iowa and a competitive game against Penn State, or maybe a shocking win against Penn State, would really keep fans engaged in the later part of the IU football season as they hope to become bowl eligible. We definitely thought, and I think still think, they will be bowl eligible. But last Saturday, the game against Iowa went about opposite from what I predicted and thought it might. I expected a really good football game with Indiana being in there. I didn't expect it to go the way it did. You were going to make plans to kind of rearrange things and make sure you were at the IU-Penn State game as opposed to some other things that might be going on and available for you to cover that weekend. I'm curious, are you still going to do that?
Yeah, you know, things don't happen in a vacuum. If IU was playing Penn State and that was the only thing happening on Saturday, I'd be there. But there are things happening, and Purdue's playing Ohio State, and you look at look at the trajectory of both teams. Purdue started slow, 0-3. They've won three in a row. They're not going to beat Ohio State, but IU's not going to beat Penn State either. And to be honest with you, if I go to Indiana, kind of the only thing that's going to happen, now I could be wrong, Penn State, they could beat Penn State. Penn State's coming off a loss. I mean, they could. And, man, I'm going to be sorry. You know, if I miss that game to watch Purdue lose by 30, I'm going to be real sorry. But the odds are I'm going to go to an IU-Penn State game if I go and have to write about IU falling apart. And nobody wants to read that, and I don't want to write it. So maybe I just shouldn't go. So I'm going to go to Purdue and write about the ascension they seem to be making and see if they can take a step, and the step is not beating number two team in the country. That's not going to happen, I wouldn't think, but just see if they can look competitive, because all of a sudden they've got something figured out. And Iowa embarrassed IU. Embarrassed IU, and that's very discouraging. I don't want to see anymore.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, Coffee Crossing, brings us Greg on Tuesdays. I had an opportunity with a couple friends to go to the Purdue-Ohio State game this weekend. Obviously, my only reason for wanting to go would be to see Rondale Moore, who I knew from his time at New Albany and has had a great start to the season, and I think will go on to be an unbelievable Boilermaker on the football field in his time there. I can't go because of another trip out of town, but I bring that up because I know there was kind of a push, if I read this correctly, to get College Game Day, ESPN's College Game Day, on campus for the Ohio State-Purdue game, in addition to the, you know, a Big Ten game and it being a big challenge for Purdue. There was another reason to want to get it there. It's because there's kind of a super fan, a Purdue student that you know and has become a friend of yours. Tyler Trent is his name, who is fighting cancer, and I think that the push, at least the story I read from one of the Purdue sites, was to get College Game Day there, not only to cover the game, but also to do some special stuff with Tyler Trent. And I understand that he's going to be – they won't be at the Purdue-Ohio State game. I think they're going out west somewhere this weekend for College Game Day. But I read where he's going to have a little pre-filmed segment in College Game Day this weekend, if I saw correctly. So you got a connection with this kid. Pretty interesting story.
Yeah, Tom Rinaldi and ESPN was actually in his house over the weekend. So that will be airing. Tyler Trent he's an Indianapolis kid, went to Purdue. He's about 20, and cancer first came after him when he was in, I believe, eighth grade, and just keeps coming back. And you know, he beats it and it comes back. And he's in hospice care. And so if folks don't know what hospice care means, that means doctors have decided they can't do anything more for you. Let's just make you as comfortable as possible for however long you have left. And that kid has, I wrote about him once back in March when I kind of met him, is that Purdue went to the tournament and he couldn't go. He was covering Purdue for the school paper, but he couldn't go. Cancer had come back, and I wrote about how Purdue's here and he's not. What a damn shame that is. And so I go to his house sometimes, and I'm not alone. Other people, I mean, Blue, the mascot, Trey is his real first name, the Colts mascot, he shows up, but in street clothes. I mean, he shows up as a person because Tyler attracts people. Jeff Brohm showed up at his house a few weeks ago. Agent Wojnarowski dropped a Woj bomb about Tyler Trent a couple days ago. This is what I've told Tyler, is that when he... When cancer came back the most recent time, he said he was going to, you know, fight it, and he wanted to, and he kind of, I think he, at that point he kind of knew that it's just not going to leave me alone. And so what he said was, I want to leave, I'm thinking about my legacy, I want to inspire people. And what I told him was, everybody says that. I mean, I told him this a couple weeks ago. Everybody says that. Everybody wants to do that. It's a nice thing to hope we can all do, and almost nobody actually does it because it's hard to do, and he's done it, and he's doing it. And to me, it kind of just knocked me over like a – I mean, everything's been happening with him. It's just unbelievable. But the most – and I told him that – he didn't even know about this one. I had to tell him this – is that he's got these little Tyler Strong yellow bracelets. He knows about those, but – what he didn't know was that somebody was going around Purdue's campus. And putting Tyler Strong bracelets on statues all over campus. Some stranger was doing that. And he didn't even know. Like, so many things are happening with Tyler, and there's so much stuff going on with him, and he's on Twitter, he tries to follow it. It's his own life, but he didn't even know that was happening. I had to tell him. So he's already impacted the world more than most of us are going to do in our entire lifetime. And I've told him, you know, really irritates me that you're doing that, Tyler, because you're doing more in your years than I'm going to do in mine, and that's really not quite cool, but good for you, Tyler. Good for you.
Greg, absolutely awesome stuff. And again, you cover things that some people wouldn't. You get involved in those tough things, and we appreciate you sharing those with us. You've just shared some tremendous stuff. I've heard so many comments about Matt. The segment with Doyle has become much more than sports a lot of weeks, and we appreciate that a lot.
Thanks, Matt. There's special people around here. Any of us are lucky to get to know any of these folks. I'm really lucky to know Tyler.
Greg, thanks so much for the time. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Thanks, Matt.
Another tremendous segment with Greg Doyle, who is, again, just unbelievable at what he does, and you can tell his passion and emotion and how he covers things and in the way that he gets to know the people that, a lot of people may not take the time to get to know. So, special thing. Our segment with Doyle is presented by Coffee Crossing. When you're looking for great coffee, downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company. That's 410 Bakery and Cafe. Great coffee, great bread, great pastries as well. They're now serving breakfast and lunch. That's 410 Bakery and Cafe in downtown New Albany. Woo! We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, our guest. IU basketball is what we'll be talking. A little recruiting as well after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Tuesday show with Mike Pegram, Pegs himself of the Pegs.com website. We're going to talk IU basketball first, get into a little recruiting later on in the segment as well. And Mike, I tell you what, the first exhibition, I guess, that fans will be able to watch against Southern Indiana about 3 weeks or so away. So the season is approaching, but since Hoosier Hysteria, and since we found out that Juwan Morgan won the gold jersey going away, I think, was 31 points ahead from everyone else. We really haven't heard that much about practice. There haven't been many updates, not a lot of information leaking out of the practices. We know that they were closed down for a while, even for high school coaches who are wanting to get notes and ideas for their upcoming seasons. You get a real sense that it was very business-like in the early going to get ready for this 18-19 season. Do you have any kind of notes, any kind of nuggets maybe that you've been able to learn or hear about Romeo or Juwan or anything out of practice that might help help this time pass a little easier for IU fans?
Yeah, we did talk to Archie at length on Thursday of last week in Chicago. I'm actually finishing up a story right now, should be up within the hour, about Deron Davis's recovery and how much he's doing. And in it, Archie talks about how lucky they've been through the first 2 weeks that they've been injury free for the most part, outside of bumps and bruises. He's really happy with that. And so that's going to be a point of one of my stories. As far as you know, who's standing out, I think what surprised Indiana is how well of a passer Romeo has been, and how much he's benefited from the presence of Juwan Morgan. Archie even told me, he said that Romeo would tell you if he was here how much it's a big benefit to him and the other freshmen, how much Juwan has taken control of the team. From especially in the locker room, he's just really challenged the guys on a regular basis, like who can guard me today, and to really pump up the team to really defend each day in practice. And that was actually the main thing that Archie passed along to us when we asked, you know, what has stood out in these first 2 weeks, and it's just how much control Juwan has of this team and how that's helping the other younger players. I think we've heard that Jerome Hunter has begun to shoot the ball pretty well, which is a big thing for him. He's talented and he can shoot it, but we weren't sure if he could that would translate to the college game, and that's been good. We've heard good things about how well Al Durham has played, and I tried to press Archie on who might be a third scorer, and he talked a lot about Justin Smith and how he's much better right now than he was last year. And we also heard good things about Al Durham, and he even brought up Al's potential guy that can score some points for this team. So those off the top of my head, I mean, I hear good things about Evan Fitzner and how well he fits, but that was pretty much expected. But, I need to gather those quotes, but a lot of it was he's doing more than just shooting. So Evan is, a little bit like a Max Bielefeld in that he's coming to Indiana at a time when he's like 23 years old and he can do a lot of things. He may have, been labeled this one thing, which is outside shooting, but that's because he did it when he was 18, 19 years old, but now he's a grown man and he can do a lot of things. I think he might have a similar type of impact for this team.
Micah, you touched on a couple things that I had in my notes to expand on with you. One is Jerome Hunter. There have been obviously lots of talk about Romeo Langford. Robert Fennessey, he's from the state. He played in the state championship game. He had a wonderful high school career. Everyone is more familiar with him and what he did as a high school player. So a lot of discussion about him, a lot of excitement about him as well, handling the basketball as a point guard. Jerome Hunter has been a guy that he's gotten some praise, and he's gotten some good write-ups in high school, and he has the body when you see video of him or you see him in a high school game or an AAU game. He's got the body and things as a freshman that you don't often see, and that's made me say and ask you and others before, because of that, could he maybe see more time as a freshman than what we might expect? But with some of the reports that you've heard and other things out there about him, it sure seems like he might be up there with the Romeo, with the Fennessey, as far as freshmen that could come in and maybe get the most time in a team that, at least early on, has a lot of guys that are going to be looking to get time, get minutes, get shots, prove their worth for maybe the Big Ten part of the schedule. But don't you agree that Jerome Hunter's kind of taken a, as for a freshman that we haven't seen in a game, he's kind of taken a step forward as a player that could be could maybe get some meaningful minutes at times if things go well?
I think so. I think, like we said, it depends a lot on his shot. Archie did allude that maybe he needs some more time. It was more in the context of where Jerome and Demezi Anderson are in terms of becoming guards more than forwards. I think with Jerome, he's going to be impacted by the presence of Romeo Langford and Justin Smith quite a bit. Those guys are going to demand a lot of quality time at the big wing positions, whether that be two or three. But he can have, I think, a top eight or nine rotation role for this team and have some big moments when his shot is falling. He can handle the ball pretty well for his size. I think the question mark, can he guard 6'4", 6'5", and under types? But he can definitely help this team, especially if this team can get out and run because he can fill the lanes really well.
Mike Pegram.
He's really talented, really talented. I think I've watched him before and turned to somebody and say, boy, this kid could make it in the NBA if he really applies himself the next few years. And you don't usually say that about players, but he does have that kind of look about him at times.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest talking IU basketball. Some of the maybe the notes and some of the things we've heard out of practice at this point of the season to help bridge that gap between Hoosier hysteria, which was a lot of fun, to the November 1st exhibition game at the University, or against the University of Southern Indiana, I should say, at Assembly Hall. You ran through a number of items there, Al Durham and maybe being a scorer, Fitzner doing more than just shooting the ball, and I had mentioned in my Jerome Hunter question that there's going to be a lot of guys wanting time, especially early on. Do you think that this will be a situation in the game against USI and in some of the early season non-conference games where Archie will maybe run guys in and out just to kind of get a better feel for things? Because this seems to be a roster that has a lot of weapons and a lot of guys that have made improvements, a lot of incoming players that expect to play and be legitimate players in their time at Indiana. Do you think something like that's possible, just to get guys on the floor and see what they can do?
Yeah, I would expect that. Archie himself brought up or spoke at length in Chicago about how much more depth and how many combinations he kind of has at his disposal that he didn't have a year ago. It's everything will be centered around two guys, Juwan and Romeo. The other six guys or seven, he said he could go to 9 to 10, but he really, at this point he can't say how many players will be in the rotations. But I do think he'll experiment a little bit. If that's your main point there, with all the possibilities of this team, I think he probably will experiment a little bit more to find out who's ready to go, because they have to jump into this non-conference schedule pretty quickly. They have the Chicago State and Montana State test, so I would kind of throw that into the USI game and the secret scrimmage that we won't see because the Marquette game Marquette's a loaded team November 14th. I don't know if you know Marquette, but Marcus Howard's one of the top guards in the country, and they have the Hauser brothers, Joey and Sam Hauser, who are highly ranked and very productive players. One's just a freshman, but the other one averaged 15 a game last year. So they have to be ready to go. So he's going to need answers before that game on November 14th. And right after that, they go all the way to Arkansas. So that's what they're staring at. I obviously don't want to have another Indiana State situation either. But Montana State's not a horrible team the game before Marquette. They want to start in a whole different way than they did last year.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, IU basketball, the topic. I got to always have a Romeo question when I talk with you. So
yeah.
I'm curious, and Mike, I know you watch, have followed IU, have covered IU, have been grossly involved in the Big Ten for a number of years now from a media perspective. Romeo, one of the things that I hear or that – I also think about this is we didn't seem play a lot of defense. I mean, he never just quit and didn't play defense. I don't want to say that. He was so scoring-centric for New Albany and had the ball in his hands so much that person is going to struggle at any level to get back and play the type of defense that you might expect out of some other people when they're exerting so much on the offensive end of the floor. I expect that you said a lot will be centered around him and Juwan. I expect that to a certain extent that will be the case again at Indiana, but I would believe he would have a better opportunity, if this makes any sense, to get back and play some defense as well, given that he's surrounded by high-level college basketball players at Indiana University. Do you have any concerns about his ability to guard in the Big Ten, or are you, like me, kind of interested to see how good of a defensive player he can be when he maybe focuses more on that end of the floor?
Yeah, in high school, you're so concerned about foul trouble for someone like Romeo that you don't often place him on the best players of the opposing team, or you don't ask him to really be aggressive. But in college, because of the talent around you, you can be a little bit more aggressive, and he's going to benefit greatly from all these practices that he's going to have with high major athletes and develop better decision making on things, because he has all the tools to be a very good defender. He's athletic, and he's not only athletic; he's got good size for his position, you know, and he also has good length for his size. So there's nothing really, and he's bulked up to about 217 now. And that's going to help him so much defensively versus what you all remember him at New Albany. So I would think that he would be much better defensively than what he ever saw in any game in high school, because he has the tools. And I've heard good things about what that practice-wise in terms of what he can do defensively. And I mean, there's still going to be a little bit of a need to protect him from foul trouble or ask him not to be super aggressive. But I thought one of the things I would say that Romeo progressed best in high school was how hard he played. I thought he played harder as a senior than he did younger in his career.
Mike Pegram with Pegs.com is our guest. Mike is with us on Tuesdays. I want to get into some recruiting, but before I do that, Evan Fitzner, with what you've seen and heard about him, and you kind of mentioned his older, experience type player that he brings in addition to, we know, being a great shooter. But it sure seems like, based on everything that's out there, that you know, he's more than a shooter. Even in the media day in Bloomington, I think it was one of the players, maybe Juwan Morgan, maybe Deron Davis, I can't remember exactly, mentioned his post skills, and that they had been surprised by that, because everything they saw and heard about him before he got to Indiana was that he was just a dead three and a great shooter. With everything we're hearing, do you think that there's a great case that, given he's in his final year of college basketball and he's a shooter and he can do other things and he's big and long and fills a void for Indiana, do you think there's a good chance he's one of the five starters to go with Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford?
I go back and forth whether you see him or Justin Smith on the front line with Juwan to start the season, assuming Deron Davis will be still in a kind of recovering mode or not quite back to himself. And even then, I don't know that Deron is necessarily going to be a starter later on in the year. But, I think you have to remember St. Mary's was a very perimeter-oriented team. They always are. Ernie Bennett just has a style of play, so that's where they look. They're looking for shots. That's how they recruit. That's why Evan Fitzner did well there. And it's a little bit like that with Max Bielefeld. Michigan is a very perimeter-oriented team, but he had some skills that maybe were shown more when he got to Indiana, when it was more balanced offensive philosophy. Now, it's a different coach at Indiana now, but I do think that Archie will maybe look to post players more than they do at St. Mary's. And therefore, Evan's skills may have been hidden, or some of the skills that may have been hidden out west will be shown here. And like I spoke to before, he's just a more mature body than he has been. When you get to be 20, 22, 23, you really start to fill it in, and you can push people out of the way inside.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. Let's get to a little recruiting. Trace Jackson Davis narrowed his list basically by one school over the weekend. I don't think there were any major surprises there. As we stand with Trace Jackson Davis, final three that he'll choose from, official visits done, how do you feel as someone that has covered Trace and this recruiting now for basically a number of years?
Yeah, this is a snail's pace recruitment. One school at a time. We thought maybe he'd go to two. It depends on who you talk to, but everyone had Indiana if he was going to go to two. And there were some people who were thinking Michigan State and a few people thinking UCLA, but a lot of people think that's too far away. Stepdad is from the West Coast and went to Washington State and has, I think, from L.A. ties. So UCLA can't be discounted. They're really selling him on if you're going to go only 1 or 2 years of school, why not go out west and really enjoy yourself and see if you prefer the world and play with some guys that, you know, will be playing in the NBA too. The feeling still is that Indiana is in the best position. There's nobody that I really have heard from with good insight that doesn't feel that way yet. You know, it does make you wonder, as you know, after he's made all these official visits, there's nowhere else to see, no one else maybe to talk to. He still hasn't made a choice, so you know that's a fact you can't deny. But everything still points to Indiana as far as we know, and it is still only mid-October. I don't think you ever panic about any recruit, at least until you get into November signing period time frame.
MikePegramPeaks.com, always with us on Tuesdays. Great insight on IU basketball. Mike, thanks for the chat. We'll talk again.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, Matt. Thank you.
That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the program. I left out a NBA connection as well. Micah Shrewsbury from Jeffersonville, coached at Butler, coached at Purdue, other places as well. In his 6th year starting tonight as an assistant coach at Boston for Brad Stevens. A great guy, a great local guy who still stays in touch with the area. He's been on this show before, just a tremendous person. So good luck to him and the Celtics as well with a local Southern Indiana connection as the season gets started. Have a great day. That's going to wrap things up for this Tuesday show. I'll be back with you on Wednesday. Jeff Rabjohns is with me, Greg Mengelt as well, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.